Welcome to the Basic Money Matters Show, where we will discuss tools and tips to help you manage your money. Are you ready to get your finances in order? Well, here's your host, Annette Sullivan, certified public accountant and owner of Temple Management Consulting, to show us how.
In this episode, we will be discussing a C corporation and an S corporation. This is our final episode on choosing a business entity for that business that you are starting. We talked about sole proprietorships, limited liability partnerships, general partnerships, limited liability companies or LLC. And in this episode, we're going to close it out and discuss a corporation. And there are primarily two types, while there really are three, but we will talk about just two of them. And that is the C corporation and the S corporation. Those are the final two options that are available for you as you're looking at the type of business entity that you would like your business to operate under. So a C corporation is a business entity that may have one or many owners. Yes, you can start your business and form it as a corporation. Now, I know 9 times out of 10, when we think of or hear the word corporation, we think of a very, very large business. But that is not necessarily the case. Any business can operate, any business of any size can operate as a corporation if you so choose to do. So a corporation is an individual or a single entity in the eyes of the law. Corporations can raise money. You can raise money by selling ownership interests, and that's called stock or shares of stock. So you can decide to sell stock to family members or friends or other people who are interested in investing in your corporation, and then they are considered shareholders. Now, if the C corporation earns profit, it usually does one of two things. It will distribute those profits to the shareholders in the form of what we call a dividend. Okay? So at the end of the year, if the C corporation has a profit, it can take that profit and distribute it to the shareholders as a dividend. If it chooses to not distribute all of those profits out or none of those profits, it can keep the profits and what we call reinvesting it in the business. So let's talk about the shareholders once again. A shareholder is simply a person, or it could be another entity, who has purchased shares of stock in your business, your corporation. And we will talk about how you set up this corporation. And so the reason anybody would want to do that is because they believe in your product and or service, and they believe that you will be profitable. Otherwise, they would not buy shares of stock in your corporation. And of course, you as the owner would be the first shareholder, because the assumption is that you're going to be investing in your own business, putting your own money in it. So you may actually be the only shareholder. You do not have to open it up for other people to purchase shares. You can be the single 100% shareholder. So if you do decide to open it up and others are shareholders, they are simply that, shareholders. They are not a part of management. but they are investors in your corporation. So a C corporation can be used in almost any case, okay? Let's talk about some of the attributes, some further attributes. The C corporation can have as many shareholders as it like, could have thousands, millions, or just one. And your shareholders can be of various types. A shareholder could be another corporation. It could be other types of entity. It doesn't have to be individuals. And that is very different from an S corporation. An S corporation has some limits in regards to the number of shareholders that it can have, and also on the types of shareholders that it can have. Now, when it comes to liability, which is typically the reason why you would select the corporation as the type of business or business entity that you would like to form, corporations offer complete liability, limited liability to its owners or shareholders. So the shareholders of a C corporation are pretty much insulated from personal liability. Liability for any corporate action is limited to the extent of that shareholder's investment. So, for example, if you, as the owner, you're the only shareholder and you've invested $5,000 in your corporation. And if your corporation is sued, some sort of action against it, your liability, for the most part, and we will tell you what the exceptions are, your liability is limited to the loss of your stock ownership or your $5,000. So there may be a judgment to the corporation for something greater than that. Well, that would not come out of your personal pocket. That would likely come out of the insurance that the corporation would have in place. So that is what limited liability is about. However, the limited liability feature may be lost if, for example, if a corporation acts in bad faith, or it can be lost if the corporation fails to observe some corporate formalities, for example, organizational meetings and some other things that really need to happen if you're operating as a corporation. That limited liability can be lost also if the assets are being drained. For example, if the employees or key employees are paid unreasonably high salaries, or if the corporation is inadequately funded or commingles its funds with shareholders' funds. So just very negligent things. Negligence and bad faith does not insulate you from personal liability. Regardless, any entity, including a corporation, must have liability insurance in place to mitigate potential losses. With a C corporation, you have the shareholders who are the owners. So if you are a single owner of your corporation, then you are considered a employee shareholder or shareholder employee, meaning both, because you'll likely be on the payroll as an employee, but you're also a shareholder or the 100% shareholder. So shareholders of a C corporation typically do not participate directly in managing the organization, unless, of course, you are a small corporation. As a single shareholder, obviously, you are running the organization. So you're managing, you're the employee, and you are the 100% owner or shareholder. Now, shares of stock of a C corporation can be freely bought and sold without any consequences to the entity structure. That is not the case with an S corporation, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. A corporation can, in essence, live forever. It has an indefinite life, which is far different from a sole proprietor, because you as an individual and your business as a sole proprietor is one and the same. So if something happens to you, that is what happens to that business. Something happens to you, the business likely will go away. So a corporation, though, is a completely like a breathing, living individual with a social security number, but it has a tax ID. It's a separate taxable entity. And it continues to live regardless of the death, the inability to manage or whatever it may happen to the shareholders. The corporation will continue to live. If one of the owners resigns, retires, becomes incapacitated, the corporation continues. That business will go on even if you don't. So, what are some of the trade-offs of operating as a corporation? We mentioned in previous episodes a concept called double taxation. Yep. It's exactly what it says, double taxation. So generally, double taxation means that as a corporation, the earnings, the profits of the corporation are taxable first at the corporate level when they are earned. What does that mean? That means that when your corporation completes its income tax return, and yes, there is an income tax return specifically for a corporation, then the bottom line profit is taxed at a certain rate. However, that profit then, if you decide to distribute those profits to your shareholders in the form of a dividend, and so let's say you have four shareholders and you give each one of your shareholders $1,000 because you had $4,000 profit. So you had a $4,000 profit that goes on your corporate tax return and that's taxed. But that profit also ends up being distributed to your shareholders in the form of a dividend, which is not a deductible expense for the corporation, by the way. So dividends are not a deductible expense. So each of those four individuals that received $1,000 dividend, that's income to them. And they have to now put that $1,000 on their personal tax return. So do you understand then how that same $4,000 is taxed twice? It's taxed once on that corporate income tax return. And when that $4,000 gets distributed, you write $4,000 worth of checks to your shareholders because they've invested and these are the profits that belong to them, then they get taxed. So that is the double taxation of a corporation that many try to avoid because that's not a good thing. However, there are ways that you can take those profits and not necessarily distribute them as dividends. If you are the sole owner of that corporation and if your salaries are not extremely high, you may, instead of sending them out as dividends, you could, of course, add to your salaries. Or other types of deductible expenses like fringe benefits. The C corporation is usually the most difficult and expensive entity to form and to maintain. To begin with, you have to file documents with your Secretary of State. And those documents are basically what we call articles of incorporation, which are not extremely difficult to prepare. And they have really good examples, typically at the Secretary of State websites. They have basically like a template a lot of times. You also would need to adopt bylaws. And bylaws, when I say adopt, you have to prepare bylaws that talks about how the corporation would be governed and ran. You would also need to elect your board of directors. And finally, you should hold board meetings. Now, the level of formality and complexity really depends upon yourself. If you would be the sole owner of that business, of course, it would be good to have someone other than yourself on that board. But, you know, you can basically have shareholder meetings. They don't have to be once a month. But, you know, if you're the sole shareholder, then you're basically going to document. You'll have a shareholder meeting with yourself. You're pretty much going to document some of the things that you've decided to do, just from a formality standpoint, to have those meeting minutes. The corporate entity is typically heavily regulated. What does that mean? It's regulated both at the local and federal government level. For example, you've heard of the Securities and Exchange Commission. So when you're talking about major corporations that are publicly held and sell stock on exchanges, then the SEC is basically the oversight of those major corporations. But you will not be a public corporation, not starting out. You'll be privately held, the only owner, or you may have a few other shareholders along with you. So the level of oversight is going to be quite different from a publicly held corporation. So some other tips for operating as a C corporation. Shareholders of a C corporation cannot deduct from their taxable income, cannot deduct the corporation's losses from their personal income. There is no pass-through of anything relating to the corporation. No losses is what I mean. There's no pass-through of losses to a shareholder's tax return. So typically, a shareholder would only have the dividend income that they would need to reflect on their tax return. But unlike a partnership or some of the other pass-through entities, limited liability, those organizations can pass through the losses to the members of an LLC or to the partners of a partnership. So if the partnership operated at a loss, then that loss can be allocated to the partners, and each of those partners can take their share of that loss and deduct it on their personal tax return. That does not exist for a C corporation. Okay? So the losses of the corporation are what we might call trapped at that corporate level and can only be taken by the corporation. However, it can be used in subsequent years to offset more profitable years when the corporation does have income. And that's what we call a carryover. So how, once again, How do you set up a corporation? Generally, to create a C corporation, once again, you file your articles with your state, and your state law will dictate what you will need to include in your articles of incorporation. You have your bylaws that you will need to write and adopt, your board of directors selection, and hold at a minimum your first organizational meeting. The decision to be a C corporation is one of default, meaning that your corporation is automatically considered a C corporation unless you have applied for, elected, and applied to be treated as an S corporation. And that application is with the IRS. Because an S corporation basically operates pretty differently from a C corporation, primarily from a tax perspective. One other really, really fabulous thing of operating your business as a C corporation is fringe benefits. So if your corporation provides fringe benefits to its employees, for example, health insurance, tuition reimbursement, not all fringe benefits, but there are certain fringe benefits at a minimum, definitely health insurance, those are tax-free to the employees. So if you're the sole owner of a C corporation and you can pretty much put in place a health insurance plan and to cover yourself, and that is not taxable to you individually, and it is 100% deductible by the corporation, those fringe benefits provided. That is not the same in an S corporation. There are limits to that in an S corporation. So that's a huge benefit of operating as a C corporation. You likely will get far more deductible expenses from a C corporation than an S corporation. Similar to fringe benefits, wages are not subject to double taxation. So you'll likely be, once again, both a shareholder and an employee. But the thing that you'd have to watch out for is to make sure that your wages as an employee and shareholder are not unreasonably high. If your wages are unreasonably high, the IRS may likely consider some of those wages as dividends and disallow that portion to be deducted by the corporation. So let's take numbers for example. So let's just assume that the corporation generates $100,000 of income. And in this scenario, let's say that you as the employee and only shareholder, in that same year, you paid yourself a salary of $95,000. Well, $95,000 is a very high number in relation to $100,000 income. That would be considered an unreasonably high salary in relation to the amount of income for that year. So more than likely, the IRS could possibly consider a portion of that $95,000. They may say, well, a reasonable salary would be more in the 60% range. So they may say 60,000 of that 95,000 is a salary. And that's the only amount that the corporation would be able to deduct as salary expense, 60,000 instead of the 95,000. And then they would say the other 35,000 is essentially, we think that is a dividend. That is the profits that you had that you distributed to your employee shareholder as a dividend, but you didn't distribute as a dividend. You gave it to them as a salary, masking it. And so they would require then that you recognize $35,000 on your personal tax return as dividend income. And that corporation would, of course, not be able to deduct that $35,000. So they'd have a $35,000 profit that they'd need to pay tax on. So you need to understand that you cannot have unreasonably high salaries. Of course, you want to be paid fairly, but it would have to be just some number that is astronomically high that makes no sense in relation to where that corporation is financially. Wanted you to be aware of that. So let's move to the S corporation. An S corporation is also an incorporated business that just simply has formally elected to be taxed as a pass-through entity, which means now if you have elected and the IRS has approved, then the S corporation does not have its own tax return, that the profits are passed down to the shareholders. Without an S corporation election, that business is going to be taxed as a regular C corporation. So, unlike a C corporation, shareholders must meet a certain eligibility criteria to be considered a shareholder of an S corporation. So they do have some unique things going on with an S corporation. Your corporation must be incorporated in the United States if it's going to be an S corp. So once again, to be taxed as an S corp, you've got to file an election on form 2553 with the tax authorities. But before you file that election, you cannot file that election unless all of your shareholders approve and consent to that election. Okay? Because what we are asking is that the profits and losses, of course, get pushed down to the through the shareholders. So all the shareholders must be in agreement with this. An S corporation cannot be owned by more than 100 eligible shareholders. So what are some of the other strengths of an S corporation? Limited liability. Because the entity is a corporation, once again, you are limited in terms of your personal assets. And the same exception applies with an S corporation. If, in the case, the corporation acts in bad faith, commingles its funds with personal funds or shareholders' funds, drains the assets, or just really does bad things, then that limited liability may be lost. Like a C corporation, an S corporation offers what? Centralized management. So the S corporation can live forever, just like a C corporation, and it continues to exist upon the death or retirement, resignation, or incapacitation of one of the shareholders. S corporation losses pass through to the shareholders and may be deducted from their taxable income. That's a good thing. There are several restrictions, though, on a shareholder's ability to deduct losses. And we won't get into those. Just be aware that there are some rules around the deductibility. So at the end of the day, what we're really talking about is a C corporation versus an S corporation. Simply, if you want your business, if you want to operate as a corporation and you want all of the, you want the business itself to be taxed, you don't want to have any impacts on your personal tax return as a shareholder, then you simply are operating the corporation as a regular C corporation, period. So when you file with the Secretary of State, that's it. You're going to be a C corporation. But if you would like to have the deductions and deductions pass through to you as a shareholder onto your personal tax return, and there are some other benefits, you may decide that you want to elect this corporation to be considered and operated as an S corp. And also keep in mind that you may start operating your business in one form. For example, you may start and for the first year operate as a sole proprietorship. However, as you grow and your risk, the assets of the organization grows, your personal asset grows, and as the risk grows, then you may decide, okay, now it's time for me to convert to a different type of entity. And that choice is yours and is available to you at any time. There may be a tax consequence going from one to another depending upon what you're doing, but you do not have to stay. You can always switch the type of entity that you're operating under. So choosing, as you're thinking about starting your business, or you've already been operating your business and you've been considering, maybe I'm not operating under the best form, hopefully these last three or four episodes have provided some really good insight as to some of your other options. In summary, there are just short of 10, I think it's around eight or nine, different entity types that you could operate under, depending upon the type of business that you have and the number of owners or people that are involved. If there's just one, you have about five or six options. And if there are two or more of you, then you have your, you know, LLC, corporation, and partnership options. So it's a very important decision. What we've provided is some basic information that hopefully you will take and you will research a little further. And then once again, the decision that you make starting out does not have to be the decision. You don't have to stay in that same entity for the entire life of your organization. I hope that this information has been helpful to you. And we really appreciate you tuning in to Basic Money Matters, where we take the complicated financial parts of your life and your business and make it easy for you to understand.
Thanks so much for joining us for the Basic Money Matters Show. Please visit our website at templemanagementconsulting.com. Be sure to tune in for the next episode of Basic Money Matters. Thanks again for joining us.